I believe the church should be the leaders in change. We should be the leaders. And one thing, this is a real deal, and it is major, that most of the world, when it comes to sound and lights, you would think that your big concerts would be the leading industries, your big names, like I was going to say names, but none of those people are big anymore. Like, anyway, so I'm trying to think, what is her name? I don't know anybody's new names. Jesse said, that's fine, move on. What is her name?
Lady Gaga.
Okay, Lady Gaga. What? I'm trying to think, she was country and she moved over. Taylor Swift. You would think like Taylor Swift, is she still, people still listen to her? I don't know. No. Okay. So whoever they listen to, you would think these would be the ones that the light shows, the sound equipment go to for advice because they want to do well with them. It's actually the church. The church is the number one purchaser in America of audio equipment. And so these big audio companies do not go to those people. I'm sure they do. But for the majority, their number one customer is the church. The church is leading the industry when it comes to sound. But we should be leading the industry when it comes to music, which I think we're turning a curve, because a lot of the music, even now, they don't like to show it to you on television, but the churches were represented in the music awards. They don't put it on television. They wait till it goes to commercial. And then I'm trying to think the churches that were represented. Hillsong was there. We had, who else? Why am I forgetting their name? Bethel was there. All their music. Elevation Music was there. All these musicians were there. And they won awards. Why? Because they're leading a sound. And can I tell you something? Music has its roots. They have their roots in the church. They have their roots in the church. The church has always came with a new sound. The church has always come with innovation. It's only very recently has the church been kicked out of music. And I think the reason they were kicked out is because we left. We left the music industry because Jesus was coming back soon. Why be involved? Why write new songs? Why come up with television? Why come up with all this? Jesus is coming, so let's just max out our credit cards and ha-ha Visa and Master and Discover. And, 82 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1982. Right. Oh, was it 89? It was 89. And then the person, when 89 came and gone, oh, I missed it. 90 reasons. And then 91 reasons, I missed it. And he's going to keep missing it. And he's going to keep finding new reasons why God is coming the next year. And the church checked out. We checked out of society. We checked out of TV. We gave it to them. Do you know what amazes me? The third private satellite in space, the third one, private, was a Christian organization. A Christian organization was the third company to put a satellite into space. Praise the Lord Network. Nope. PTL Club. The PTL Club. They were the third ones to do it. It's amazing. They were only behind Cinemax and HBO. They were the first ones. The church was leaders in industry. In the 80s, the number one theme park was not the Big Rat down in Florida, Disney. It was actually Praise the Lord Network. They had a water park and a theme park. They led the industry. They were creators. And I know I'm going a whole route I didn't plan on going this morning. But they were leading industries in creating roller coasters and all this stuff. And theme park rides were all modeled. Some of your water parks today were modeled after them. Now, I think they were cheesy. It was the 80s. I think everything was cheesy. Did you see the outfits back then? Everything was cheesy. I mean, they had like the Moses water slide. Yes. Yes. I could come up with some really great ones. I just see, like Pharaoh, let my people go. And then you run and go down a slide. It sounds wonderful to me. Now, But in all this, the church should be innovators. We should be embracing change. We should be leading the nation in change. And not only should we be leading the nation in change, but we have the moral and ethical code that companies should be searching for, to want to feel IBM, wanting to feel Amazon and all these places. They should be looking to the church because they know the moral code is there. We lost something that the church is getting back, and I'm so thankful, because we're starting to look for a chance to change. Not for a chance to become a museum where you can't touch nothing and can't do anything, and God forbid you bring a cup of coffee in church. I know, it's terrible. I grew up, you could only have water. And then the ones who've been in church forever, if they don't need no water, God will sustain them. God will sustain them. Don't need ushers. You don't need any of this. No gum. Can't have gum. Honor the Lord. I believe you want to honor God because you're here this morning. You showed up to want to learn more about Him. God is always moving, and we must be moving with Him. We must be constantly changing. We must be constantly transitioning from where we are to a new place. I believe one of the reasons why we don't change and why we don't transition is because one reason may be we like right where we are. It's so nice just to sit here and know I'm going to sit in the same place every service. No one's going to get in my seat because I'm here on time. I put my stuff down. I even walk in before y'all get here and I put my stuff down, and then I go back out and get my cup of coffee and I talk to the same people. I shake the same hands, kiss the same babies, walk around, tell some of the same stories as always. And change is something that we don't embrace. But God is causing His people to change, and the world is changing faster than it ever has before. I love this. I read an article that stated that the world's technology every 100 years doubled. Every 100 years from 1800 to 1900, the technology doubled. And before that, every 100 years, the technology would double. We are breaking that by leaps and bounds. And they're actually stating that we're coming to a place that colleges will not be able to keep up if they stay the way they are. They said that colleges, when they go for a degree in any kind of electronics, by the time that they're done, the whole industry has changed and doesn't even use what it was using, or the method has changed so fast. What's beautiful is they're saying right now that we're at once every 25 years, technology is completely doubling. The knowledge of the world is completely doubling, and it's on an upswing. And they say we're coming to a place that it's predictable. It's predictable that we're going to get to the place that the world soon, all of the knowledge that we have will double every 15 years, and we're not far off from it. And they're like, how do we educate people in fields that won't even exist by the time they graduate? Or the field that they're in will change so rapidly, everything they learn will be archaic. When Java and language and coding is changing so fast, how do we keep up? Well, can I tell you something? God has an answer. And you can look at all this stuff, and we can get to a place where we're so afraid of change. How about this? That things are changing so fast, we don't know what to do, and the fear comes from not knowing what to do. What if I send my kids to school, and by the time they get out, they don't know anything that will help them with a job? I think the right place to be afraid of is my kid is majoring in art. Thank you. Thank you for that one. If only one person laughed at that joke, I would tell it again. But wondering what they're going to do with their degree. I'm going to tell you something. God has an answer. There is a solution. And, there are so many people that automatically go to fear. And there are those who will say fear and get into fear about our nation, that our nation will be left behind. Our nation will not do, our nation is dropping. Now, can I tell you something? As the church, if there's a problem like that, I blame the church. I don't blame the world. I blame the church, because the church should be leaders in education. The church should be leaders in technology. The church should be leaders in this world. And if we want America to be strong and stand in its place, the church will have to rise up to the challenge. If we look to the world and the government to make these changes, we will be left behind. But the good news is God is good, and He is raising up leaders all the time. Innovation is getting stronger and stronger with the people of God, and they are embracing technology instead of running away from it. No longer dead is the day that the church will look at technology and call it evil, but begin to recognize it is a blessing from the Lord, that art is a blessing from the Lord, that photography is a blessing from the Lord, that all these things are here for us to enjoy, and the church will rise up, meet the need, and embrace the change. It is the church that has always brought revolution to a city and to a nation. It is the church that got rid of child labor. It is the church who got rid of locking people into rooms and not letting them out for breaks. It was the church that rose up in the 1700s after the fires that swept through New York, killing hundreds of thousands of people, women and children. And it was the church that rose up and said, we will never let this happen in this nation again, because we are a nation after the heart of God. Other people will try to stand up and take credit. Some people have hijacked that movement. I won't say their names, unions. But they have hijacked the movement of the church. And what was done in love and peace became baseball bats, bricks. And then the church backed away from it instead of taking it and keeping that movement. See, this is what's going to happen. Anytime a great move happens in by the church, bringing it up, the world will try to hijack it. Because there's money to be made and there's name and grandiose. When the church will do it because of love, right. The Hoffas will do it because of money. So the church must embrace change. Now, if we do nothing to pursue change, changing circumstances will do something about us. If we do nothing to pursue change, changing circumstances will do something about us. Many churches have died and gone to the wayside because they refuse to change. Where we look, like I've said, a museum, where we're dead and we have relics, we have good teaching, we'll have the word in, but then we give way to tradition. Many churches have fallen because of something so simple as a paint color or carpet. Because they refuse to embrace change. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm embracing change. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 3 says this. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, there have been ages since the beginning of time and ages that the church stand in. And today we are in the day of the church. This age that we are in is in the age of the church. And that age will die. It will go away. We've had the Mosaic Law. We've had all these stages through history. And we're in the church age, the last age before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when that age, when Jesus comes back, then the church age will be done. And we'll move into a new age. But we are in the most exciting age that has been here. We are in the age of not just a couple people walking in the plans of God, but the whole nation's walking and have the ability to walk in the plans of God. That not just a couple people having a relationship with the Lord, not just Adam and Eve, but the whole world being able to carry the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, having a relationship with God. This is the greatest time on the earth. Do you realize there are more people on the face of the earth than ever before? There are more people who need to hear the gospel than ever before. This is the greatest age. This is the greatest time. The 70s was not the greatest time. I looked at your clothing and music. Some of the music was really good. The 80s lost it. I don't know what happened in the 80s, but they completely lost. Some of you like the 80s music. God forgive you. That's terrible. Pastor, me and Pastor, we strongly disagree. No. I know you love your 80s because some of your rock bands, Pastor took the fall for that. That was Scott. Wasn't that Scott in the back? There we go. That was Scott. Sorry, Pastor. I knew we agreed. Like mind. Our homes will be side by side in heaven. But the disciples have wanted to know what will happen in the end of days. What will happen at the end of time? We're still there. People are still the same. Jesus, when are you coming back? Let us know. And then people prophesy about the coming of Jesus Christ all the time, about when it's going to be. And when somebody picks a date, I'm like, man, well, we kind of know it ain't going to happen then. I almost wonder if the Lord will change the day if somebody picks it. Maybe not. No. So on this, we want to know the end of time, the period of time, and we're in the church age. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive you. Now look. People are not going to come. Now, there will be people who come and say they are the Son of God. They are God reincarnated. But that's not what this is talking about. We're forgetting that the word Christ was not Jesus' last name. It was actually a title. Many shall come and say, I am the Anointed One. Many politicians have said, I am the Anointed One. I am an answer. A light will shine down from heaven. Well, they didn't say heaven. A light will shine down from somewhere and land upon me. And they will be the answer. Nations have said, rise up. We are the Anointed. We are the answer. We can fix all your problems. There are many that will rise up and say they are the Anointed One. And what does Jesus say about that? And he answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be not troubled. See that you don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. How interesting. All these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. It will come to pass, but the end is not yet. I've been preached this, and this is it. Get ready. Jesus is coming. All these things are happening. This has got to come to pass. And there's people who pray against this. And I do believe we need to pray for direction through this. I do believe we need to pray for wisdom through this. But this will come to pass. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. I don't know if you paid attention to Oklahoma, Texas, Wisconsin, Illinois, Tennessee, all these places who have not had earthquakes for, you know, since the records, all of a sudden is having earthquakes. It is prophesied. There's nothing you can do to stop it. It must come to pass. I believe part of it is the world moaning in childbirth, labor pains, crying out for its creator. Oh, you don't have to agree with me on that. Because it's just my theory. I could be wrong. But when we get to heaven, we'll find out that I was right. Verse 7, for nations shall rise up against nations. Nations shall rise up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquake. Where? Divers places. And all these are the beginning of what? We are in the time of the beginning of sorrow. Well, that's exciting. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We can leave right there and go away encouraged. We are in the time of sorrows at the beginning. The sorrows door hasn't even opened yet. We're just getting into it. And so, but now you may say, if we're getting into the time of sorrows, how do we come to the end of sorrows? I am so glad you asked. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then the end shall come. So let's talk about the end for a little bit. I like the end. The end freaks a lot of people out. I don't know. I think it's because of the Left Behind series. I never watched it or read them. And then there was a terrible video that went around the church of people dying and going to hell. It was really bad in the early or late 80s. Anybody watch those? Anybody remember the names of them? Thank you for your hand. My parents wouldn't let me watch them. They said it would scare me too bad. I begged to watch them and they wouldn't let me. I don't know this to be true, but I've heard it from several people that somebody riding a motorcycle lost control and hit a fence, right? And something left their body. And once I heard that, I'm like, I want to watch this. And my parents would not let me watch it. So they tried to scare people into heaven and out of hell. Their motives were right, but if it's not done in love, brothers and sisters, it's not going to be done. And so I believe we have a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false teaching on the end times, simply because the church, I think, has messed it up. We took an agenda and tried to get people saved, and we got really creative with it, which I don't mind creative television and creative shows. I remember when Noah came out. It wasn't a Christian movie, right? The Days of Noah or whatever it was. I don't even remember. And the church lost their mind. This is, you know, false doctrine, false doctrine. Of course it's false doctrine. The world wrote it. What are they going to do? Get it 100% right? Steven Spielberg is going to lead Jesus as a center of the Bible in all the movies that he does for God? No. Do you know why they did the Noah movie? They were trying to make money, money, money. Money. They were trying to make money. That's all they were doing. That's what the world does. And it doesn't bother me. You know why? Because a lot of questions are going to be asked. Because that movie was wrong, 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 wrong in a lot of places. And the church should have the answer, 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 answer to a lot of places. Let the world make movies. Let the world be false with their doctrine. Let them come up with all these movies to try to put Christians in a seat or try to get the world to see something. And when they show Armageddon and they get it all wrong, the church can begin to get it right. That's what it should be. We should look at it as an opportunity. But the church tried to boycott it. I watched it. It was a C-minus movie. Yeah, it wasn't that good. It wasn't that entertaining. I watched it to be entertained. But when do we go to movies to get our doctrine correct? But like, that is doctrinally wrong. Yeah, a theater. When do we go to a theater? When do we go to a theater to get our doctrine right? Oh, that's good. That really blessed me. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. Do you know Thessalonians is written about the last days? Oh, I know. If we're going to get our doctrine, at least for me. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that I am not one of these that I have been in many services about the end times where they go to the book of Daniel and then they jump over to Revelation and then they jump back to the book of Daniel and then they jump over to Revelation and we wade out in it together and I am drowning. I'm like, I can't swim in this. And you tell me what it means and I don't see it. Have you ever been in a meeting where they're teaching and they're all, I mean, and people are, oh, yes, yes, I see it. Yes, that is so good. And you're here like, I don't get it. I'm trying to color within the lines right here. And y'all, I'm creating masterpieces, connecting the dot. And I'm like, ah. I'm like, I just don't get it. And so for me, end times makes more sense in the book that was written about end times than going back. And look. And there are all kinds of personality. I am not saying that I just don't want you to get out here and say, Pastor believes that that's baloney. I don't believe that it's baloney. I just believe that there are people who God knows their personality who loves that kind of stuff. And they love connecting all the dots and what colors mean and what days mean and numbers mean and all this. And I use that sometimes, but that's just not my personality. That's not what pulls my trigger. That's not what cranks my tractor. You know, but that may be what does theirs. They may like that kind of stuff. There are so many people in the body of Christ who can focus on things and love it, absolutely love it, absolutely enjoy it. And I look at them and think, whoa, I'm glad you like that. I'm glad that means something to you. But God knew we would have all these personalities and created all this stuff and put it in the Word of God for us to find and enjoy. There are people who love going back and debating the gap theory, time theory, all this, when God created, when Satan fell to the earth and all. And I love it. That actually intrigues me, and I enjoy that. But, you know, coming up to trying to figure out the end time and through Daniel and Revelation, not my deal. I get lost in that big time. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. By what? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. What is it? Why is he telling us not to be deceived? Because we can be. Oh, I love this. How many of you, I'm just going to keep my hand up the whole time so you don't know where I stand. How many of you are pre-trib? We're going before the rapture. How many of you? I'll wait before the rapture. That's weird. How many before the Antichrist? Let's see. That was a trick and you all passed. Good job. Except for you. You failed. No. Before the Antichrist, how many of you say we're staying? The Antichrist is going to get ready, and before he takes the place, the church is going to be removed. All right, that's some of you. How many of you say during the middle of the Antichrist, when he's at reign, we're going in the middle? Anybody here say I am going in the middle? Did I see a hand? Did I get confused? I don't know. Be bold. Be proud. All right, how many of you say we're going to go all the way through the Antichrist, and at the end we're going? Y'all are all pre-tribbers. Okay. Last time I did that, we had somebody represented in all forms. And so it kind of disappoints me that we don't have everybody. Go find some mid-tribbers and some in-tribbers. Find them and bring them. But I would have to agree. I really do believe it is before the Antichrist steps into power. I believe we have scripture on that. I'm going to read it to you. But if I'm wrong, he'll keep me. So many people, I don't know why this is in the church, but people are afraid of if it's pre-trib and it's actually mid-trib, then I'm going to go and it's in the wrong one and I'm going to be in a bad place. Can I tell you something? And then the mark of the beast. Christians freak out about the mark of the beast. Y'all, other churches, we'll talk about other churches. Y'all aren't crazy about it. But people freak out. They're like, it's going to be tattooed. There's going to be a chip in your head or a barcode or in your arm. I think it makes more sense in the arm. If you're going to put a chip and you can swipe and pay for things, probably should be in the arm. I'm just saying. Because otherwise, you're going to have the scanner at the grocery store. Is that great or what? You got a chip in your hand. It didn't go through. Oh, did it go through? No. Okay. No. Okay. Hold on. Okay, got it that time. It's just so much easier with the hand. Get it in the hand. But this is the thing. Christians are so afraid of the mark of the beast. We freak out. We absolutely freak out. You have to deny Christ. You don't go to hell for putting a chip in your arm. Oh, y'all got real quiet on me for a second. Y'all got seriously quiet on me. You do not go to hell for a computer chip in your arm or forehead. You go to hell for denying Jesus Christ. It is a religion. It is a way of life. It's not just accepting. You have to accept a Savior that is not God. You will have to deny him to get the mark. There's no two ways about it. God does not send you, you're not going to go, but God, I just thought it was Visa. I just thought it was Visa. I had no idea. You've already come and was gone for almost 500 years. I didn't know. No one told me. There's not going to be a group of people who go to hell and be like, I didn't know. They have to deny Christ. It's not a computer chip. It may involve that. But it's not solely that. It's more than that. I mean, if we think about it logically, and we think about it dividing God's word, we would come to that conclusion. Now, where did we leave off? Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Why? Because we can be deceived. For that day shall not come, except, oh, you better pay attention to this next verse. That day shall not come, except there be a falling away first. I would like to put this out there for your thought. We are scratching the surface at this scripture. We are scratching the very surface of falling away. I used to believe that the falling away would be people denying Christ, quitting church, and walking out the doors, which I do believe will still happen to a degree. But I believe in a greater part, it will be churches saying a good word, not preaching anything about Jesus, taking down the crosses, don't sing about the blood, don't do communion, don't do all this. Everyone finds their own way, and we just become a great club where people show up every Sunday morning. And then those churches, this is nothing you have to believe. This is my mind in operation. This is my picture of how things are going to be. There will be government-sanctioned churches around the world that don't speak bad about the government, that won't stand up and won't say anything wrong about what they're doing. And the government will fund and sanction them. And then those churches that stand up and preach the gospel, the world will begin to turn their back on them. The light will get brighter and cause us to penetrate more of the darkness. There's coming a point where the church will stand up on what is right. And there will be this murkiness in the beginning of what is and is not a church, but all of a sudden the church will stand up, become what it is created to be, and we will see healings, we will see miracles, signs, and wonders. We will see a church that will, like the saints of old, that will stand up like Paul and Silas, that said, we have been attacked, we have been imprisoned, we have been beaten, and we want you to pray, not that we don't have it again, but we want you to pray that we will preach Christ bolder than we have ever preached Christ before, that we will go to the dark places, that we will go to the highways and the byways, and we will not let man ever persuade us not to talk about the power of Jesus, the anointed one. That's where we're coming to. Now, for this won't happen. This will not happen except there be a falling away first. And the man of sin being revealed. The son that he as God sitteth in the temple. Oh, did I skip? I skipped a whole lot. Excuse me. The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you of these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. That power of the Antichrist is already here. Only he now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The way I interpret this, and I could be wrong, but the way I interpret this is that the church is what stops the Antichrist from coming into place. It is the church that stops the government from going too far. It is the church that stopped World War II. Yes, there were nations involved, but it was the prayers of the saint that stopped an evil man that was one decision away from taking over England and that whole side of the world. Do you realize if Hitler would have continued to push instead of resting for a day and enjoying Paris, England would have failed. What was that? The island in France they were on. Dunkirk. They were at Dunkirk, and they were moments away from crushing them. Moments. They had them. And Hitler commanded to cease the push. And all his generals told him, we must keep going. We have them. We can win this today if we keep pushing. And Hitler said, nope, 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 against all the advice of his generals. And he toured all the artwork in the Louvre and France. He went and looked at everything, took photos. And that one day changed the tide of the war. And we can go back to men's and women making decisions. But I believe it is the church standing up and praying. It is the church standing in their place. It is us who stops the Antichrist from getting into place. Now, question. What does the Bible say about the second coming of Jesus? And I'm ending. What does the Bible say about the timing of the second coming of Jesus Christ? Who knows? Who knows when he's coming? Only God. Only God. So, question, my little Bible students. Does the devil know? What? He doesn't know? So that means Satan is always planning, and he always has someone anointed to be the Antichrist. Throughout all time and all history, he has to guess. He couldn't even guess that Jesus was Jesus. He actually came to him, said, "Are you the one? If you are, bow down and worship me. I'll give you everything." He didn't even know. He still doesn't. It's so crazy. He still doesn't even know who his leader is going to be. All he can do is look around. I bet when D-Day and all this happened, man, he was ticked. I think he's like, so close. We're so close. The whole world is about to fall. We've got this. And then the United States gets involved. Just kidding. It was more than that. It was the prayer of the saints manifesting. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You don't have to turn there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I like that. Have you ever pictured it? I wonder what he's going to shout. I just wonder, is it a hallelujah? Do you know when you look up the word hallelujah, it traces back to the word when God created the earth. That power that he said is the whole word wrapped up hallelujah. I wonder if it'd be a hallelujah. I wonder if it'd be Geronimo. Some of y'all don't think that way. I just wonder, or is he just going to open his voice and just, oh, this is heaven. Sparta. Oh, none of y'all got that reference. I have no idea what he's going to shout, but the Lord is going to shout. If you don't like loud noises or shouting, that day's going to bother you. But the good news is you'll get over it quickly, because the second coming of Jesus, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is the end of all this? It's going to end with a shout. It's going to end with the dead in Christ rising. It's going to end with those that are alive being caught up with him. Will it look like Left Behind series and a bunch of clothes and cell phone laying on the ground? I have no idea. And honestly, don't care. I don't care how it looks. All I know is it's going to happen. And I'm going to be a part of it. But until that day happens, the power that God has put in the church is the very thing that stops the Antichrist from taking place. Is there an Antichrist alive today? Guaranteed. It's the spirit of the Antichrist alive today. Paul said it was alive in his lifetime. It was the church that stopped him from taking over then, and it's the church that stops him from taking over now. It is those believers who stand in their place and decide, I have given my life to Jesus, which means I get to change my life to look like Jesus's life. Jesus said, these signs shall follow you. You shall do the work that I do but you get to do greater. I don't think he's talking about more spectacular. I think he's talking about more in numbers. He lived till he was 33. I've already beat him. Well, if we also go with the eternal being, he's got me beat. But in earth years, I'm 38. Yeah, I know. Wow. We'll talk about my facial regimen. I don't have any. But this, do you recognize the power of the church? The whole reason governments have not taken over is because brave men and women have decided to stand up in this nation and pray and cover our military and cover our politicians. And even if they make the wrong decisions, pray and believe that they will turn from their wicked ways and that we will get back on track and on path and that we would see the hand of God move around the world. Why must governments be in place to honor God so that the gospel can spread around the world? Not that it's just easier for us, not that we're not under persecution, but our focus is not about us. Our focus is about the kingdom of God, and may it spread around the world. So that's why we pray for the president. That's why we pray for our senators. That's why we pray for our governors. That's why we pray for the nations, is so that they will open their doors, that the same wall that fell in the 80s, that the bamboo wall in China will fall as well, and the kingdom of God will march across Asia without any hindrance. People will be set free. Come to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because this must happen first. This must happen first. And it is the church that stands in the way of utter chaos. And that is the word that does not change. But our methods, our mentalities, our ideas of how to get it out there will always change. And we embrace the change that God is bringing. And it's not to take us out of our comfort zone, but it's to get us into a fullness of Him that we will never have any other way. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Father.